Hey, welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben White. This is the Ministry Mind Podcast. And this is a place where we have the opportunity to talk to our guests on the topics of life, leadership, and ministry. I love these conversations because they're really just practical, down-to-earth conversations, just with real-life people in real-life situations. And I just love being able to glean from them, being able to learn from them, and to just be able to share that with you guys. If I'm going to be honest, this podcast was really birthed out of selfish motives, because there's so many great people that I've wanted to talk to and you know, glean some knowledge from them for my own leadership and for my own growth. So that was actually one of the reasons, was being able to contact these people, have just conversations with them, and then how cool to be able to just share them with you guys so that we can all learn together. So I'm asking these questions for myself so I can grow, but what's so cool is that we all get to grow together, and that is one of the things I love about these podcasts. So thank you so much for joining us, and I know today is going to be a huge blessing. Hey, if you enjoy the podcast today, if you could do me a huge favor and future listeners a huge favor, rate and review the podcast. It will go a long way in helping other people get a hold of this content, get a hold of this material, and it'll go a long way in helping the message of our guests get out to more people. And each guest I have on here, I feel like the things they say are so good and so important. And, you know, if you rate and review the podcast, it'll just help that message and the things we talk about, the communications, to just get out to more people, which is what I truly want, to share this knowledge. So we do this for free. Obviously, podcasts are free. We do this for free. So that's the way you can pay us back, help us out, is just by rating and reviewing the podcast. Also, if you know someone that could benefit from the podcast, please share it with them. I know they'll be thankful for it and appreciate you sharing the knowledge. If you have any ideas about guests that you would like us to have on or topics you'd like us to talk about, please contact me through the website, ministryminds.co, or email me directly, benwhite@ministryminds.co. All right, we got the formalities out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very excited to have our guest today, our special guest, Mark... Mark Fuller. Mark, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I first got connected with Mark at Snow Camp. At Snow Camp in Upper Michigan. It's a camp called Camp Kobiak. I was taking our teens there, and I got connected with Mark, and I absolutely enjoyed my conversation. Actually, I was talking with Mark right before he pulled out of the driveway, and I was so disappointed that we weren't able to connect like that earlier in the week, because there were so many things I wanted to talk with him about, and his family was ready to go. It happens just like me when I'm talking with people, my wife is yanking my arm. I was like, yeah. That happens in my family all the time. I was thinking like every service at church, my wife is trying to pull me out of the door because I'm fellowshipping, and that's kind of what was happening. So I was like, well, the best way to reconnect with Mark is to be able to have him on the podcast and have a conversation and a talk with him. So one of the reasons I really connected with you, and you know, for our audience to understand this, is that there's something unique about Mark's family, and that's the fact that you have 10 kids.
Yes, sir.
How is that, having 10 kids in your family?
Well, in our circles, it kind of makes you famous. Not that we really want to be famous, but the Lord certainly blessed our lives with 10 kids. And I always, even of late, I've kind of stepped back to say, you know what, I want to make a point to say that we have 10 living children, but we also have 5 miscarriages that I look forward to in heaven. But just the reality of those are precious lives,
yeah.
And the Lord knows that, and those are His children as well. So, the 10 kids that we do have in our home, and we have had the privilege of raising. I tell people, yes, we have a huge food budget. Yes, we have lots of laundry, and yes, we have a 16-passenger van that we call Great White. there's a story behind that too. So I won't go into it here, though. That's a long story.
I think we could literally have an episode, an entire episode about having a large family. We really could, because there's
that
so
would
much.
Be cool.
It would be cool. It would be cool. And the reason I resonate with that is because I grew up in a family of 10 kids. My wife grew up in a family of 10 kids. So for us, big families, I mean, that's our bread and butter. We're used to that. We love it. And so it's a very unique thing to see. And so when I saw you guys had 10 kids, I'm like, those are my people right there.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Did you guys homeschool growing up?
I went to public school and then Christian school in my grown up years, but As my wife and I kind of came into that whole educational thing with our kids, where we live, there really wasn't a good option. And so we got connected with Bob Jones, what they called HomeSat at the time. And we just thought that was a great curriculum for us. It supported what we were trying to do at home. And my wife wasn't sure at first, but 20 something years later, she is an advocate, and she loves the extra opportunity to pour into the kids.
Yeah.
She also loves the extra time we can give to piano lessons and lessons. It's just been an amazing blessing.
That's so cool. Our family was homeschooled. My wife's family was homeschooled. Not really because, like, you know, some people are really passionate and they really want to homeschool, but it was just out of necessity. There was no good places in the area. I mean, if there would have been, they probably would have sent us, but it was like, you know, the options we had were just, you know, not the direction that my family or my wife's family wanted to go. And you know, and I appreciate that so much. And this is just a shout out to all those families that are homeschooling, and not because you're like, hey, I love homeschooling, which there are those out there, and, you know, kudos to you too. But, you know, for your children and because you love them and want them to walk in the ways of the Lord, and you feel like that's the best way that you can disciple and mentor your children, you know, my hat is off to you. And that's the way I grew up. That's the way my wife grew up. And so thankful for all our homeschool families out there. Hey, Mark, really quickly, give me a rundown on where you're at right now. So you're working at Bob Jones University. That's your full-time job, right? And what do you do there?
Yes. I am, my title is creative director, which would be, the university has anything from the promotional materials that go out the door to potential students in high school, as well as all the things that go on here on campus, all the marketing type things that go on campus, all the wayfinding, how to get around the campus, signage wise, all those things come through our office. And so I'm kind of tasked to make sure that the brand continues to stay consistent and put out high quality stuff that's gonna help the audience. I mean, that's the whole point of promoting and marketing. It's how do we communicate to the audience what we have for them to take advantage of, and then how do they what's the call to action that they need to do.
Yeah. So whether it's clear or not, obviously this episode, we're going to be talking about graphic design, and specifically how graphic design applies to ministries and, you know, or really whatever you're in, but how much graphic design is an important part of this day and age. And we are talking to the right guy. And you also run your own graphic design business?
My business is called, it was called Fuller Design. It started in 94, and of late, I kind of changed my website to be Fuller Design Factory.
Okay.
And then I let my .com domain go bad.
Oops.
And so I changed to FullDesignFactory.com.
I hate it when that happens.
It's been a roller coaster ride. Originally, when I got when I was doing Fuller Design, this interior design company looked like about three ladies took FullerDesign.com.
Oh.
So I'm able to have that. But anyway, yeah, I've done that for obviously a long time, almost 30 years, and my heart is to help ministries. And so I've in that business. I've done some commercial stuff, but mostly camps, evangelists, churches, all kinds of things from the ministry gamut. So yeah, that's been since I came here to South Carolina, that's kind of been a little bit of a boom. I guess just more exposure and a wider scope of influence, but it's been a blessing to see the Lord bless that.
Now, how long have you been serving down there at Bob Jones University as the creative director?
This is my fifth year.
Okay.
I actually came as kind of the position underneath the creative director. And ironically, about 14 months after I got here, the creative director decided to move on to something else.
Wow.
So asked me to step into that role. So it's been a very stretching, very growing.
Yeah.
Just things that I wasn't used to doing, but it's been good. It's been good.
One of the things, as you might have picked up listening to Mark, that I so appreciate about him, because really this has always been my heart too, and that's that he's taking his gifts and abilities and saying, yeah, I mean, I could make a lot of money probably, you know, serving in the secular world, but I have a passion for ministry. And that's always been my heart too. And that's why I was like, he is going to be the perfect person to talk with us about graphic design, the need for it, and to really just share his heart with us when it comes to graphic design. So Mark, tell us this, how did you get into graphic design?
Well, it's I'll make it a short story. It's a somewhat long story, but my dad worked in computers. He was like a systems analyst, they call it, at NCR for a lot of years. And my first 3 years of high school, I took kind of computer programming classes. And I was like, wow, I'm not sure that I could do this for the rest of my life. Mm. And lo and behold, my senior year, I took an art class, and great teacher, spent some time talking about design, but more so just art in general. And I just said, yeah, I think this might be my niche. And that, at that time, though, graphic design wasn't a huge,
right,
you know, draw at a college or, to have a college program.
Sure.
So I went to a small Christian college for a couple of years that I kind of did like half communications, half art.
Mm.
And it was kind of a weird, you know, looking back on it, it wasn't the best, but it was what I had. So I took what I learned from that, and then I ended up coming back home and going to a graphic design trade school in my hometown in Dayton, Ohio. And then that was a 2-year program, so finished out that. And the interesting thing about what you were saying about my heart for ministry is I didn't start out there. I was unsaved when I started my career, and got into an organization that I ended up staying there for 25 years. But 5 years in, I got saved, and God changed my heart and
Amen.
Began to change our lives. And it was at that point and the years following that I really just started to look around at what the kind of the independent Baptist circles, what their stuff looked like. And I was like, wow, there really needs to be some thought given to some of this stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that kind of started a burden for me to help ministries and to be somewhat of a conduit to try to help people understand the importance of this. And that was back, you know, that was 20 years ago.
Right.
Now it's even more so that way.
Yeah.
So I spent 25 years in a secular company and really just always wanted to be in ministry somewhere like this. But the Lord just never had the doors opened. And so I was, you know, every time an evangelist would come to town, I'd be like, hey, I want you to know I'm a graphic designer and anything I can do to help you out.
Yeah.
You know, in a small town, you know, all you have is the people that come in,
right,
and camps you go to and things like that. So the Lord just knew my heart, and it was slow going at first, but but it's picked up here over the last 10 years, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to help some of these ministries.
Amen. What are some of the things that God taught you during your, you know, your work in the secular world that you've been able to utilize at this time, whether it's things you realize to do or not to do, and how did that prepare you for where God has you now?
That's an interesting question. And it's interesting because the job that I had was somewhat off the beaten path of graphic design. It's a field that now is coined as environmental graphic design, which basically is if you go into a space, a building, a lobby, there's design elements all over the place. If you go into, like, say, a hospital lobby or a university campus,
yeah,
welcome, something like that, there's all kinds of things that have been purposefully designed in that space. And I spent 25 years doing, really coming up with display-oriented designs that would be actually built full-scale and installed in non-for-profit organizations across the country, which would include colleges, healthcare. It also would include some things like museums and YMCA, things like that. So it's interesting how that, I feel like that helped me as I entered this space, because we have a campus full of buildings that are always needing to be refreshed,
right,
and to be brought up to current standards. We're always having things move, you know, different departments move from other spaces, and they need, you know, some kind of signage or they need some decorative thing that needs to be designed. So I think that alone has helped as I stepped into this role. But really, I mean, it's the same to the point of, you know, you're working with individuals, you're working with people, you're rubbing shoulders with them on a day-to-day basis. And how can you be Christ-like in that space? And not only in a space like a secular business that I was in, but even here, you know, there's always opportunities to encourage people in the Lord. And I count it a joy. My wife and I have been involved in youth ministry for many years. And this kind of was a nice progression of stepping into a college space where I can interact with college students. We were heavily involved in our college ministry at church here. And just so, you know, God, as everybody, it almost sounds cliche sometimes, but God does very specifically prepare you.
Yeah.
As you go through step by step in life for the next step and for the next thing that he has for you to do. So it's been neat to see that.
That's so funny, you know, because what you just said there at the end is exactly what I was thinking through my mind. It's like, as you grow and as you develop and as God takes you through seasons where you're kind of like, what am I even doing here? And this isn't what I feel like I should be doing, and or I should be doing more, or I should be doing something different. And then as that growth happens, and then as God opens up an opportunity in the future for this or that, you're like, oh, that's what God was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes you feel so small.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I might've mentioned this in another podcast, but you know, it comes back to my mind that there was a pastor that I highly respect. I just appreciate his teaching and where he's at. But his church grew, and he was able to go to his church. He went to his church in his mid-50s. He had been serving as an assistant at another church for most of his life. And his church grew from about 90 to about 700 to 800 over the span of about 7 years. And somebody asked him, they're like, how were you able to, I was talking with a friend of mine, and it was a group of us friends, and they're like, wow, that's just amazing that within 7 years, you know, God blessed him and he's able to do that. And another one of my friends said, it didn't take him 7 years to do that. It took him 56 years to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so he's like, it's not just like this was a 7 year thing. No, from all of the things that God, all the trials that he had gone through, all the testing, all the things that he had learned, all the mentoring had prepared him to go to this place that nobody thought a church could be developed at, and start with a small group of broken people that had came from a broken situation, and to just be a blessing there and to grow that ministry. And I always think of that, because it's like, you know, just like you, it's like, oh wow, look at what he's been able to do in 5 years. You're like, no, this has been a lifetime to get me to this spot.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true.
So let me ask you this, Mark, because you do have such a passion for graphic design. And why are you so passionate about graphic design, and specifically when it applies to ministry?
Well, as I said, you know, the more I got to interact with, you know, churches that we would fellowship with, you know, over the years, and the youth ministry, and seeing, you know, parachurch organizations like the one you mentioned, Camp Kobiak, and other camps, and just realized that there was a tremendous need and a lack of, not to be negative or derogatory, but just a lack of professionalism.
Sure.
In this specific area. And I just wanted to, you know, I had this dream, not a literal dream, is just this thought that I've always carried, that I would love to have some kind of a conference where you could go, and guys like yourself, or any guys in ministry that had to deal with some of this graphic design stuff, that they could go and learn and be encouraged and be able to go out having a better understanding of graphic design, how it works, what are the key elements, you know, how can I make myself better? And this was probably a 15-year-old dream. Yeah. And when I first got here, I had lunch with a friend who was a director of a mission board out in Arizona. And he said, you know, your scope of influence has broadened. It's changed.
Yeah.
And when he said that, I went away from that thinking, you know, I should do something about this thought that I have about creating some kind of thing to help ministries. And it ended up being a proposal that I wrote for some leadership here. And my boss just jumped on board. He loved the idea of creating like a one-day conference where you just go, and we just pack the day with all kinds of just real practical training and try to be an encouragement to ministry guys and ministry wives. And so lo and behold, this past year, 2019, we were able to have two, what we ended up calling Creative Reach conferences.
Wow.
And we had about almost 40 at the first one in Indianapolis. And then we had one that was up almost about 30. In Atlanta, and just even the promotion of that, and just talking to guys, how it just fuels my fire even more to know the need.
Yeah.
And to know that there are so many people out there that are like craving for additional information, training, how do we do this? You know, there's all kinds of those things out there. And the reality is that we have to be excellent in everything we do. And even in this realm, because the world's way ahead of us.
Yeah.
And it just from a professionalism and a look standpoint, I'm not talking about, you know, compromising and being looking like the world, but there are, you know, it's the difference between trends and principles.
Yeah.
The principles are what you can build the foundation on. It's learning those things. Trends, now that gets into, you know, our culture, and, you know, there's obviously things that we want to stay away from that visual standpoint.
But, sure.
But the principles are what we need to build on to move forward.
I remember when I first started serving at my church, and our printed material was probably, you know, if you're listening to this, maybe you can relate with this, and maybe this is the way it typically is, but our bulletins were printed off on like blue paper. we'd go to Office Max, we'd get like pastel blue paper, you know, after that ran out, we'd get like yellow pastel blue paper. The logo on the front was just Fellowship Baptist Church with some cheesy, you know, stock logo of like a cross that somebody had pulled offline, and we'd been doing it since the birth of our church. And I just remember thinking, like, why do we have such ugly stuff? And I remember like talking, because my dad's the pastor. So I was like, Dad, you know, it costs just as much money to print off something that looks good as it does to print off something ugly. And he's like, how do we do it? And I'm like, I don't know. I guess, you know, we'll get someone to do it. And he's like, well, we haven't got the budget for it. So if you want to do it, go ahead and figure it out. And, you know, you have the freedom to do that. And that's when I started launching off into graphic design, just because I knew the need for it. And to just see, like, it was just killing me how ugly our stuff was. It was an embarrassment, you know? And that was one thing I always thought. It cost just as much money to print off and to distribute and to mail out ugly material as it does good, attractive material that will catch people's eye. So let me ask you this. Why is it so important, do you feel, for ministries to take that graphic design seriously?
Well, I'll start with the fact that what are we here to do? We're here as a church, as Christians, to serve people, to be Christ-like, right? We hear that phrase all the time, and it plays obviously into our attitudes and our spirit, but it also plays into just serving people well. And I think that's kind of the direction that I've headed, is that how can we serve people better? It's not that maybe we're not doing it good, but our world is always changing in this aspect. And there are so many articles and so many stats out there that you can read just to get the flavor of how people interact with visual things. I mean, think about it. It's like we are completely bombarded. I have this photograph in one of my presentations at Creative Reach, where it's just Times Square and just the massive amount of information and graphics and flashy colors and, you know, you name it. Yeah. That's what we face every day with all the things. So and think about it, so many of those things are worthless. They're vanity.
Yep.
Here we have the greatest message ever. So how can we give that in a concise, nice looking aesthetic where people are going to take notice of it?
What do you think graphic design, and like, let's say you're putting out a brochure or a pamphlet, and the quality, and when I say quality, I mean just, you know, like basic design rules are being followed. It's the color is all part of like the same rhythm in the design, basic things like that. When somebody gets one of those, and whether they realize it or not, I mean, everybody knows when they see a good design and when they don't, they might not know the rules that go behind it.
Right.
But when you send that out, and let's say you send out a very poor quality, and I don't mean like the physical quality, the paper could be the exact same, but I mean the design wise, when you send out a poor material, what do you feel that communicates about your ministry?
Well, that's a great question. You know, you think about how people interact with information just in general. And our world is so fast moving, our culture and our fast paced life has conditioned us to quickly discern if this is worth my time. And if it's not, then I'm going to discard it and I'm going to move on to what is beneficial to me. You know, you think about just in your own life, you take your cell phone and you flip through Facebook or Instagram, what's drawing your eye to stop even for just a second or two to bring in information? And so when you put something out that maybe doesn't have good flow of information, it doesn't help the audience take the next step. It doesn't communicate that you have your things in order. Just from, even from that standpoint alone, you know, is somebody, even if you had the best facilities and even if you had, you know, the best things in your building, the reality is people aren't getting even to that point because they have so many other things to see from you before you even step foot in the door. So having that clear communication, I have this four questions that I give at the conference. Number one, you got to ask yourself, and this all comes down to planning. I mean, so many people, unfortunately, in the design realm, they think, well, and I thought of this earlier when you made a comment about clip art, you know, it's like, well, if we have a clip art book or we have a website that we can just download free clip art from, we're good.
Right.
But there's much more to it than that. Just like anything that we do, there's so much more to decisions that we make and why we do what we do. So planning, who's my audience here? Who am I trying to reach? Who am I talking to? What are my goals? Ultimately, what are the high end goals? The 30,000 feet goals of why I'm even sending this piece out. What am I trying to say to this audience? And what is my message to them? And then fourthly, what do I want them to do next? If they read this information, how do I want them to react to that? Oftentimes in our world, it's a call to action to go to this website and read for more information. And that again is a sign of the times in that this, like you had suggested, this pamphlet that you send out, or this brochure or postcard, that's the first step. Hmm. That's not going to get you all the way to the end. The first. And then you want people to connect the dots to be able to take a little steps rather than having to take a step from here's a postcard, now come to our church.
Yeah.
And what are those steps in between? And all those things can change based on your location and based on, you know, just what your church family, how your church works. But it's critically important to have that plan. And then it's then that you can hopefully make some clear decisions about, it's almost a little bit easier to make the decisions about the actual piece once you kind of have those four questions answered.
Hmm. It seems like some of the things that you're saying is, one, graphic design it's communicating what your ministry is like. So you could, as you were talking, I was thinking about it as far as like the clothes you wear, right? The clothes you wear communicate something about you. They communicate, and I was just talking to a young man about this. He was dressed kind of sloppy and he wasn't doing his hair. And I was just saying, dude, everything you do communicates something. So if you dress sloppy, you don't do your hair, your clothes don't look right, if you know what I mean, then you're communicating, I'm a sloppy person. I don't really care about what's happening. I'm not a professional. No matter what's actually going on the inside and the heart, nobody knows. And he could be the greatest guy on planet Earth, be the sharpest, most intelligent. He could be a billionaire, but the way he dresses himself communicates something to everybody that sees him. And as you send out your pamphlets, as you send out your brochures, your tracks, whatever you send out for your ministry or business, it's communicating something about your business. And you said you could have the most beautiful building, the nicest inside, but if you send out low quality material, that's what everybody's going to think about your ministry. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And we haven't even talked about the realm of website and the digital space, but that's the same way. It's communicating that you know, our God is excellent.
Yes.
And we should be emulating excellence in everything that we do. And And this is not an exception to that. We should be very deliberate about what we're trying to do there too. There's, you know, again, you can go out and read many, many different statistics and surveys, but I found one that in 50 milliseconds, a user of a website will form an opinion of that website and decide whether they want to stay there and keep absorbing the information or they want to leave.
Hmm.
I mean, we're talking about a very small window. So it's important for it to be decent and in order.
So you're saying it's not just important to have it look good, which is super important to have that clarity in how it looks, but also the design needs to have a structure of communication layered within the design.
Absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that all that flows together. And oftentimes, I'm sure you've experienced it, where you can get so bogged, and I've even done it in my own designing. You know, you can get so bogged down and you want it to look, you know, you want it to look a certain way.
Yep.
But you have to make sure that because design in itself doesn't do anything.
Right.
But design with a purposeful message and a purposeful way to continue that thought, that's design that communicates.
Yes. And I love what you said. We have, I mean, design is communication. I think that's like, you know, just get that in your mind. Design is communication. Just like a preacher or a pastor or a teacher prepares themselves to communicate God's word, a design yes. is a communication, which ultimately, if you're a part of a ministry, leads to the gospel, right? It's the gospel that is the end goal. The gospel is the most significant thing any person, specifically Christians, have to communicate. There's nothing more important we have to communicate than the gospel. So if you are not bought into the fact that graphic design needs to be taken seriously, think about the fact that if somebody is able to get a brochure or a pamphlet or something, have that clear communication, be drawn in by the good-looking design, end up going to church, going to a special activity or whatever your church is hosting, and ends up accepting Christ, wow, that's worth the investment. Amen? That is worth the investment of the design. Design is communication. So I hope that's something each and every one of you understand. Every design you do is ultimately communicating and leading towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you agree?
Yes. And let me put a little bit of a postscript on that, in that we also don't want to give the impression that this is the end all be all. Like if you
right.
make signs and make them communicate, I mean, this is, and this is kind of a marketing principle, is that you don't just put all your eggs in one basket. You have a long line of communication that's going on. If you take a community person that's never been to your church before, unsaved, you know, you want to attempt to reach that person. And it's not only going to be a postcard that comes to their door or somebody knocking on their door or passing them at the grocery store and here's a, you know, invite you to my church. It's that, and it's, you know, if you're, you know, door-to-door visitation, I know that people have kind of put a negative slant to that these days, but it's still, you know, even if it's just your church people going out and impacting the world as they cross paths with people.
Yeah.
You know, that is all that stuff plays into, and having a clear, concise website, if you're going to have social media presence, have it be, you know, beneficial, and the content be something that people want to look at and want to read. All those things, you know, that, and we haven't even gotten to the church yet. We haven't even gotten the people to pull into the parking lot.
Right.
And so it's yes, all those things that I mentioned and things that you could come up with yourself, all these things are pointing back to what is our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is to, to tell people about Christ,
Amen.
To point them to the ultimate Savior, the only Savior of the world. And so it all plays a part in getting that end goal. I don't know about your church, but I remember we were in a church plant in Ohio for 5.5 years, and we heard regularly that visitors would come and they would say, "Oh yeah, I looked you up on the website, and
yeah.
You know, I saw you for that or the other thing." I mean, that's what people do.
Yep.
They'll go out, check you out in the comfort of their own home without having to talk to you, and they'll make a determination. They'll make a determination about whether they want to even try.
Yep.
And so you know, you could say, well, if they didn't want to try, then you know, they missed out. But were we communicating the best that we could with what we have to help them feel at least like they wanted to give it a try?
Amen. And I agree with you. And that was so good. And I'm super grateful you brought up that point, because it's not just the preaching of God's word. It's not just your visitors' ministry. It's not just your children's ministry. It's not just the clear signage around the church. It's not just the brochures you send out or the tracks you design.
Right.
All of this together, and as you were talking, I was just thinking about the body of Christ and the different gifts God gives to everybody. All of this together works in unison towards, in fluidity, with momentum towards the gospel of Jesus Christ. And
yeah.
They all need to be working together. And I think when we understand that, it's not, you're not just putting together a website, you're putting together a website for the glory of God and for the direction of the gospel. And I feel like when that's the end goal, it gives everybody that unison and that momentum to be going in the same direction. So thank you so much for bringing out that point. I think that was a super important one.
Yeah. And when you talk about websites, you know, designing it, thinking, or even laying out the content, thinking about what's a person from the community thinking when they're looking at this?
Hmm.
I mean, that's a healthy thing to think about.
Right.
Because that's the person you're trying to reach. And so often, in websites, we talk about the fact that, you know, you do have, in a church setting and a lot of different settings, you have a lot of audience. You have your current church people. You have the people that are maybe out on the fringe of your church that come occasionally. You have the people that have never darkened the door. You have age group audiences. And we get maybe thinking about those one specific one, or how are we going to reach all these? The key is in any piece that you do, in any website, social media post, who am I trying to reach in this? Mm-hmm. It helps us be concise and to form our opinions that we want to reach this specific group. How are we going to do that? What messaging can we use to help, to either help them feel comfortable? I'm not talking about watering down the gospel. I just want everybody to understand that. It's just a matter of this is a industry in our world that has specific best practices. They're not sinful. They're just best practices, best principles. And are we using them to our fullest for the glory of God because the Bible talks about, I was just reading recently in the Old Testament about the skilled people that were brought in to do things in the temple to make it look amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why should we be any different today with what we put out?
Hmm. I was listening to some teaching recently, and I don't even remember who it was, because you know, I listened to a variety of sources, but he said, the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive. It just is, right? To tell people you're a wicked sinner, you're headed to hell, there's a penalty. So he said, the gospel's offensive. There's nothing we can do about that. But nothing else in our church should be. You know, our material shouldn't be offensive. The way we treat visitors when they come in. So that's why I resonate with what you're saying. You're like, we're not watering down the gospel. And that's always something people think. They're like, oh, you know, you're just trying to make it attractive and you're not confronting people with truth. No, we recognize the gospel's offensive. Okay. It's just the way it is. but we shouldn't be offensive in the areas that we have control over. We shouldn't purposefully or even ignorantly be offensive in the other areas of life. So I love what you're saying there.
I gotta tell you this before we go past it. One thing I kind of coined, I'm nobody, but I coined a phrase. It's called visual grace. You know, we talk about being gracious to people, and the definition I wrote up was a genuine care for human beings by providing visual content which clearly informs without increasing digital clutter.
Wow, that's so good.
So they grow and flourish in our generation.
Wow.
Or in our story.
Could you say that again? Because that was so good. I'm still trying to process what you just said. Give that to us one more time.
Visual grace is a genuine care for human beings by providing visual content which clearly informs without increasing digital clutter, so they grow and flourish in our organization.
Wow, that's really good. Man, that's deep. That's deep. Hey, I want everybody listening, just pause and just chew on that for a little while, because there's a lot of layers to what was just said there. Man, that was really good. Let me ask you this. Do you think a young person going into ministry should seriously consider learning at least the basics of graphic design?
That's a good question. And I've talked to some of my best friends are guys that are youth pastors or in the ministry. They're just the sweetest guys in the world, and they love the Lord. And I've talked to a lot of them, and they want to learn more about graphic design, about how to do it better. But you know, the reality is not everybody is a visual like design type person.
It's true.
So I don't want to make it sound like, you know, everybody needs to go out and learn graphic design, and you're not going to be good in ministry unless you do.
Right.
You know, the wise person understands where his weaknesses are, where he may not be as knowledgeable, and he goes out and finds that person that is knowledgeable so he can learn from it and make his ministry better. I've said for several years, why in the world don't seminaries and colleges teach at least a couple classes in graphic design to ministry majors? I don't know how many guys end up being in the ministry in a youth pastor role or some other role in maybe a Christian school. And what does the pastor or the principal come ask them? Hey, can you put together this brochure?
Right. I don't know
anybody else do it. Can you run my website, the website for the organization?
Yep.
I mean, they're getting to have to do it anyway.
Right.
So why not give them some training on it? So my advice to guys that are maybe just coming out or have been in the ministry for a little bit, look for the place, the creative reach that we've got. I mean, I don't know anybody in our circles that's doing something like that.
Yeah.
And to get connected with that kind of thing and just learning basic information. Do you mind if I put a plug in here?
No. I was planning on having you do that.
We like I said, we did two conferences in the spring last year. We also did a Christian School Association conference in October, and the Wilds asked us to come and partner with them with a youth workers conference, which
now
is coming up.
For those that don't know, what is the Wilds?
The Wilds is a Christian camp. Been around for 50 years. They're in the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina.
Okay.
And they hold a youth workers conference every year. My wife and I have been for probably 13 or 14 years. It's just a place where you can go and relax and get to know other people in ministry that are having the same struggles you are, same frustrations with teenagers, get good preaching and get some practical helps. One of the organizers of that approached me last year and said, you know, maybe we'd love to have you come and do that here at the conference. So we've got six sessions blocked out for our And I will say that I do kind of the nuts and bolts practical side of it. You know, how, what are the design principles? How do you imply, how do you apply them? How do you lay out your messaging? Those kinds of things. And then my boss here, actually the chief marketing officer, he is a genius mind, and he is great on strategy and planning and how to look at branding. And so he's going to do 3 sessions as well, but we're going to be there March 3rd through the 6th. And it's that kind of stuff, getting back to your question, it's that kind of stuff that find those things. And I have a little handout that I give to folks that kind of lays out just some resources, just online resources, some of them free, some of them not, that you can go and just start gleaning information from. So
awesome. We'll be adding links to the resources that he's been mentioning in the show notes. So you can reference those and get access to those. Man, this has been such a good conversation. I can't believe we're already 51 minutes into it. That's crazy. So Mark, let me ask you this. This has been such an incredible conversation. I've absolutely enjoyed it. I think some of the things you were saying before, just to kind of summarize, is that if you don't have gifts in graphic design, first off, if you do have a creative edge, you should seriously look into doing graphic design. There's tons of resources online. Mark has given us some. We're going to be adding those in the show notes. Go to the conference. What's the graphic design conference or the design conference? Can you give us some really quick details for that?
Well, right now, I've had a couple conversations with a couple leadership guys. One is out in Missouri. I had a conversation with a guy out in California. We may go back to Indianapolis and do one again. So it's really, at this point, we're just kind of, okay, we've got this one at the Wilds, and we're just open to do probably 2 a year.
Cool.
If anybody's listening to this and you're interested in something like that, where we would come to a bigger church in the area and we would just set up for the day, come in on a Friday, do the conference on a Saturday, and then advertise to, you know, a certain mile radius around that church so that all, you know, the smaller churches can bring their youth pastors or the pastors and just get some good solid training on some of this stuff.
Awesome. So the one that is for sure going to be happening is at the Wilds, which is a Christian camp. They'll be doing a variety of sessions on the graphic design while at the same time, like he said, having that encouragement to be connecting with other people in ministry. And I haven't been, but I have heard incredible, incredible things about it. My friends have been on me and on me to go, and now Mark is on me to go. So
if you are listening to this, please email and call Ben and bug
him. No. Until he says he's gonna register. Oh, the pressure is on. Oh, so Mark, thank you so much for spending this time. I mean, you are a wealth of knowledge. There is so much more I wanted to talk with you about that we just didn't have time to get into the episode. Honestly, this could be a 3-hour episode. I kid you not, because we only got through about 10% of the things I wanted to talk about, but that's okay. Maybe we'll revisit this topic in the future. And Mark, thank you so much. If people want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
You can follow me on Instagram, Fuller Design Factory. You can go to my website, fullerdesign.us or fulldesignfactory.com. My email address at the university is mfuller, F-U-L-L-E-R, at bju.edu. Be more than happy to answer any questions that you have. And, you know, this just plays into the whole point of, we're just here to serve, and we want to help ministries however we can, because we're passionate about it, just like Ben said.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mark. It has been a huge blessing talking with you, and I have thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Hey, if you found this podcast helpful, if you could go ahead and do me a huge favor, rate and review the podcast. It'll only take you a second. Just click right over there on whatever podcast app you're listening, rate and review it, help other people get connected with this. And I really hope that this conversation we've had today has challenged your thinking maybe in some areas, gotten you to think about some things that maybe you haven't thought about specifically in the area of graphic design. I love graphic design. I'm passionate about it. Something that we didn't mention that I just wanted to say is if you do learn graphic design, you will save yourself thousands of dollars in the future because it is just a huge blessing to have that tool in your arsenal to be able to do those graphic designs and time that you have to wait for other people to be doing graphic designs for you. And so if you are able to do it, I strongly encourage you to learn it. And we'll be giving you links to some of the resources where you can learn those type of things in the show notes. If there's any guests you'd like us to have on in the future, please contact me through the website, ministryminds.co, or you can email me directly, benwhite@ministryminds.co. Our goal is really to just be a blessing to you and encourage you guys in your ministry and hopefully to just give you some helpful tips along the way to make you more effective at the ministry God has called you to do. Once again, this is Ministry Minds Podcast. My name is Ben White. I look forward to seeing you here again next time. Peace.